Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM is conducting 12 30-minute interviews with local residents in the Harvey area. The series is called Your Stories, Our Community 2024. The volunteers that have agreed to be interviewed come from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences. The recorded interviews will be played on HCR 96.5 FM twice per week over a 12-week period, and the local audio content preserved as a historical recording for future generations. Volunteer HCR 96.5 FM announcers will conduct the interviews, and station manager Ian Taylor will coordinate the project and is the producer of the recordings. HCR 96.5 FM is thankful for the financial support for the project provided by Albemarle and the Shire of Harvey.
G'day listeners, how are you going? It's David Marshall and this is Your Stories, Our Community 2024, where we're getting together with a number of people from across the Harvey community, just finding out a bit about them and where they're from and what they've done and how they came to be here and all the rest of it. And it's my great pleasure to introduce a good friend of mine, Jahan Gaviola. How are you going, Jahan?
I'm good, and I'm a little bit nervous.
That's okay. That makes two of us, so that's all right. But yeah, happy to have a bit of a chat and find out a bit about
yes.
you. Yes. All right, cool. All right, well, we've got a number of questions that we wanted to get through, and then we want to have a listen to some of the songs that you particularly like and all yep. that sort of stuff. So we might as well crack on. So let's start off. It's a bit official to start with, just so that we can get everything in place. But can you tell us what your full name is, where you were born, and what cultural heritage do you mostly identify with?
Hello, everyone. My name is Jahan Saz Gaviola, and I'm from the Philippines. So I'm my cultural heritage is, the Philippines, and I'm called a Filipino.
All right, yes, cool. Yeah. All right, that places us right there. So Jahan from the Philippines, and we've got many wonderful Filipino community members throughout the Harvey region, so that's great. Maybe you can just tell us then, and maybe just describe where you previously lived, so that the area, the region in the Philippines, the town, whatever, was it a town, a city, or wherever it was, where you've previously lived, and what it was like at the time, in particular when you were growing up there, what that area was like. So go on a journey and describe for us where you lived.
Yeah. I live in the middle part of the Philippines mm-hmm. called Leyte, that's a province. So it's where those little islands are. And it's a very provincial and very rural area.
Mm-hmm.
But me particularly, I grew up in a university compound because my dad is a university professor.
Uh-huh.
So I live in a gated community, different from the reality of the outside villages.
Mm.
But it's a good, artificial environment mm-hmm. for me. So it's my childhood is normal. I haven't seen any, the normal things we in a normal village
yep.
where we see lots of violence mm. or some for us, it's abnormal to have.
Yeah, sure.
So inside, typical family of dad working, mom staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the environment I grew up with. And the regions that we are in is very rural, very agricultural because
right.
it's an agricultural university.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's how I grew up or yeah. where I grew up.
And what age was that through to or until you left that gated yes. community, as you've called it? Yeah.
Yes, I was there from kindy
mm-hmm.
to uni.
Oh, right.
And then I left for work for mm-hmm. a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then left for Australia.
Ooh,
so
right.
it's it was a very difficult move
hmm.
because from the home I knew where my mom looked after us mm. until we're uni, mm. washing our clothes, cooking for us, all this, got married for just a year and then left here with
wow.
just two suitcases.
All right.
That's our life.
We definitely want to find out more about that
yeah.
and that journey. At the moment, we're just kind of sitting in that childhood.
Yes.
So you alluded to mum and dad. Did you have other, have you got siblings? And what was
yes.
that like?
I have one older brother and one younger brother and a sister, the youngest. And we all grew up together in that compound.
Yeah.
So with our mom looking after us.
Yeah.
Never worked. Just looked after us.
Yeah, wonderful.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're close. It's a close-knit community as well because we are very very few families inside the compound. Mm. So everybody knows everybody. Our kitchens are open at the back of the houses. Right. So we just go at one house after the other and get some stuff and cook some stuff.
Yes. Or,
yeah. So it's that kind
of... So very communal type thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. And then you come to Australia and you've got
no neighbors.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. All right. So yeah, other family members. I'm interested to know, like, did we have our own bedroom as a child, or did you have to bunk up with the other siblings, or how did that work?
Yeah. In that compound that we are in, there's staff housing.
Oh, right.
So in those staff housing, it's pretty decent. Mm. So we have 3-bedroom house with two-story house. Two-story, so it's not your normal typical Filipino house that you have because we can have our own rooms, but my sister and I decided we'll be in one bedroom,
right,
and
my
brothers in one bedroom as well. So
much
yeah,
more fun.
Yeah. But in a talking about the typical Filipino families, it's usually common. Just one common room.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So do you think in hindsight, and obviously it was on the back of your father's occupation that you ran that, do you think you had a fairly privileged upbringing to be in that sort of situation? You wouldn't have known any different.
I did not know any difference, but when I attended uni and trying to touch independence, that's when I tried to escape, like, oh, outside the gates?
Right.
And that's when I knew what the reality is. Mm. But to be fair with my dad, he's a rural sociologist, so he works in the villages and with the people and farmers. He brings us there.
Right.
And lets us see the reality outside of the gates.
Mm.
And that's when I started learning about all this.
Mm.
We are not rich, but we
are
not also...
No, I know what you're saying, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can see the reality, and he's telling us that.
Yeah.
He's making us
aware
that this is what's outside. This is their life. This is our life. We are not allowed to look down on people.
No,
or just because they don't have food, they don't have clothing. So it's a learning process until now that I'm an adult, I realized that was an artificial environment.
Right, yes.
If I have a chance, I would probably change that a bit because everything's quite a shock when we go
outside. Go outside,
the gates.
Yeah. But obviously it sounds like quite a safe environment.
It is
though,
very
for a child
safe,
in particular. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look, I think you've answered most this with regard to the childhood side of it. I just want to, I suppose, just ask you, do you look back with fondness on your childhood? Was it a happy childhood?
Always.
Yeah?
Always. And that's
cool.
And when you say home for me, that's the only home I can identify with.
Yes.
Right now my mom and dad are retired and we're already out of the compound.
Oh, yes.
But every single time we go home, we always say we need to go home.
Right, yes.
Go home.
Of course.
We go to the beach and the sunset that we grew up with.
Wow.
The rivers that we always cross or the mountains that we always climb because that's home for us. So every 2 years when we do that.
We call it going on a holiday because we go to those places
and
want a holiday there. So sunsets and beaches.
Yeah.
And, fantastic. And have you still got family back in the Philippines?
Yes, I have one brother, but they live far now at the northern part of the Philippines due to work.
Yep.
And then my younger brother is in New Zealand and my sister is just here in Harvey.
Nice. that works. And mum and dad?
Mum and dad, they're retired and they're in their hobby farm.
Oh, yes.
We always encourage them to visit here.
Right.
But because of the kind of culture we have here, they really told us that we can't get them and make them stay with us.
Right.
When they're ready, they will. But at the moment, they
<They're>
don't like Yeah, it's Philippines. They're we're inviting them to come in July.
Uh-huh.
So just few months visit and then go back home.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just dip the toe in the water.
We can't force the oldies to.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah. Okay, so you had a sounds like you had a great growing up in your area. What is it you miss most about that area or that time or whatever? Obviously, you've shifted to Australia. You're growing your own family in Australia. Yeah. You go back from time to time. I'm going to ask you that in a moment. But in that, is there something in particular you miss of?
Yeah, it's when we go home and saying home is that university compound.
Right.
We look for the friends that we have, the old friends. We even go back to our old house.
Right. Yeah. It's still there.
Take photo of it.
Ah, cool.
And it's the feeling of being life being simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I define it.
Right.
Home.
Yes.
That's when there's no bills. Yeah. When you're not an adult. When you're still young and all the freedom that you get from being young and peace and everything, that's how I define it. So when I was young, actually I said, oh, I want to go to America because it's this and that.
Yeah.
So it's abroad and it's good. It could be good. I want to have lots of money, this and that. Now looking back, I said, this is what I always wanted.
Gotcha.
Why am I wanting to go back home? The home that I have built my dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the irony. Now.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in that, and something's just come to mind because I don't have the aspect that you have, but can a person have two homes?
Now I call this my second home because I have built my family and I accepted that this will be my forever home because I have a daughter who wouldn't identify my home as her home as well. She likes it's a holiday for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she won't identify it as my home.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's mommy and daddy's home. It's not hers. So there is an acceptance on that part, which is I'm still coming to terms with because she's our child and the only child. I can't force her to like my home.
And I suppose the longer that goes on, and I think of my own heritage, which is an English heritage, but several generations ago, I only see myself as having one home now because, you know, my home is Harvey or Australia, whatever it may be. And yet several generations ago, similar situation. Yeah, we came from somewhere else, you know. So it's a very interesting thing, and I think you've really articulated it so well, you know, in that context. So just kind of the final one in this session, because I think I can hear listeners out there going, we want to hear what song she's got. So we're going to get there in a minute. Yep. But before we do, do you get back to the Philippines much, and in particular to Leyte, where you were saying?
Yeah.
How often would that be?
Before, it was every 2 years.
Right, yeah.
And when it was just Ian and me, every 2 years. And then when we had Simone, it was every year because we want the grandparents to meet Simone.
For sure.
So Ian's parents are older. Yep. So as much as possible, we'll bring Simone and have the bond.
Yeah.
But when pandemic hits, that stopped everything.
Yes.
So last year was our first holiday back to our original home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
After 4 years.
Mm,
so it was it was even a surprise homecoming.
Yeah.
So that was very
interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very what's this? Heartwarming with all of us there.
Yes. And certainly, look, as a grandparent who has grandchildren in England, I know exactly what that was like. And it was hard, but we just kept going, thank goodness for FaceTime.
Yeah.
Because at least we could do something like that. But, but it's not quite reaching out and giving you a hug,
is it?
Yeah,
not enough,
No, that's for sure. Look, that's lovely. That's a really great way to start our interview together, just to give a bit of context around who you are and where you grew up and all that sort of stuff. We want to move on in a moment after we have a song and just chat a little bit about some of the things that maybe you found as challenges in this new home of yours, but also opportunities and hopes for the future and all the rest of it. But before we do, you are going to, tell us a song. So who have you got and why?
I have chosen the song Don't Stop Believing by mm-hmm. Journey. It's more of, because my husband and I, this was quite a journey of, like, it's a one-way ticket. Mm. It's a no-return yes. journey.
Yes.
Two suitcases, no, we don't know what we will arrive to.
Mm.
And then we're no friends, no family, no more mom to cook, no more, it's more of, what are we going? And then we're just newly married as well.
Right.
It's our first, what's this? Living together.
Yes, yeah, sure.
So it's a big challenge for the move and the as a couple. So that song is more of, yeah, it's our journey.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. No, look, it's perfect. I think every listener out there is going, yep, we get it. We get it. So, all right, well, this is Jahan Gaviola, who is my special guest today. It's her first song, and we've got a second one coming up a little bit long later, but this is called Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. Hope you really enjoy this one.
Streetlights, people.
Okay, listeners, I hope you did enjoy that one. Great choice of song, Jahan. Do you enjoy that?
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
And look, beautifully spoken just in the lead up to that, what that meant to you. So yes. So great stuff. And I suppose in real terms, life itself is a journey, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. So, all right, great choice of song. And in a moment, we're going to come back with Jahan's second choice. but we've got a little bit more we want to talk about. So if you only just joined us on this interview, we're getting together. It's called Your Stories, Our Community 2024. And we're getting together with a number of people from across the Harvey community and just find out a little bit about them and where they've come from. And we found out that Jahan has come from the Philippines and where she lived and how she grew up and parents and siblings and all the rest of it, and then comes with her brand new husband out to this new Australia as a one-way ticket, as you said. So, yeah, quite poignant in that sense. So you've now arrived in Australia. You're in Harvey itself. I suppose the question I want to ask is, do you still speak your cultural language? And if so, where would you mostly speak it? Or have you found that you put that to the background because you want to speak English? How does that work?
We'll be 16 years this year.
Wow.
So
good on you.
And I can't put my language or my even cultural heritage mm-hmm. aside. It's always on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So I still speak it on at home.
Right.
And now that Simone's growing up, she's turning 7. She's mm-hmm. more interested of why mom and dad is.
Mm.
What do you mean by this, mommy? Or what's the Filipino of this, mommy? So she's more questioning us, which is what I like her to be more familiar with our dialect.
Sure.
So with co-Filipinos on the street or going to friend's house, it's always Filipino.
Right.
We only speak English if we have Australian visitors.
Ah, yes.
Or the kids.
Or when you come to a radio station.
Yeah, on the radio. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there's kind of not written rules, but there's just general rules around that.
Yeah, but when you say you will forget it, that's not.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So that's never going to happen.
Yeah, never going to happen. Yeah.
And it shouldn't. But, you know, it must be harder than others. But
yes.
So it's obviously been a bonus with the amount of Filipinos that mm-hmm. have shifted to the Harvey area that you have opportunities around that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I presume it must be harder for other cultures who might be just the only people in town or, you know, that sort of thing. That would be a real challenge for them, I imagine.
Yeah. And also it's very challenging for Filipinos because most of us speak around 4 languages, at least.
Isn't just Filipino one language?
No. I speak the one of the major spoken dialect mm-hmm. in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I am doing.
Right.
Because I find it difficult to speak the national language.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a bit of twang in it.
Okay.
If I speak the Tagalog. So
yes.
I'm mostly using the Visayan one, which is what most of the Filipinos here in Harvey speak.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I'm going to challenge you in a moment to actually give us some words in Filipino, whatever dialect you choose. but before we do, let's talk a little bit about cultural language, but also cultural heritage. So whatever that means to you in your perspective, how have you been able to preserve, if I was to come to your house or go to a Filipino party, and I've been to many, how do you preserve your heritage? What sort of things would you do that?
With the language, we obviously still speak our dialect.
Mm-hmm.
And with food, that's how we introduce it to our visitors. And it's not just introduce it to them. It's more of purposely inviting them.
Right, got you. Okay.
Yeah, so, we're not just you can come into our house and then we'll just have fried chicken. No, we purposely invite Aussies and then taste our food. Yeah,
that's what I love. So I'm salivating here already. Yeah.
And the cultural celebrations, it's more like 18th for the debut party of our young girls, and then boys. We don't have much with the boys, like the debut equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 7-year-old
Seven
girls.
Seems a really important number.
Because of our very strong Spanish, what do you call that?
Influence. Heritage. Or back. Yeah, influence. Yeah,
influence.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So Yeah, cultural celebrations. Mm-hmm. Plus, with me personally, I introduced Simone to our like the celebrations we do in our own families.
Oh, so, yes.
All Souls Day, we do this. It's a storytelling.
Right.
It's more of a storytelling and then showing her in photos. Like, oh, we do this, we have candles and this and that.
Or great.
Every, All Souls Day, we go to the cemetery because we do this. Mm. So there's, and then weddings, I show her what's wedding in the Philippines like compared to the modern one here.
Yeah.
So there's traditional stuff that only be told in stories now, rather than having her experience it.
But yes.
It's one thing, because she retains so much, she can tell the stories and ask me, Mom, why is this? So it's more of sharing the culture and then passing it down to her, even if we're not practicing it anymore.
Yeah.
It's her passing, awareness,
passing the baton on to the next generation and then hopefully the next generation.
Hopefully.
Really important, really important. I want to just think about this cultural language, because we've talked about it a lot and you've said, you know, there's so many different languages and dialects in the Philippines. Perhaps here's the challenge. Can you say some words in your dialect about whatever it is you want to say, and then maybe you can interpret
English,
that for us?
Yeah.
Good on you.
So an example would be daghang salamat. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Daghang means much. So that's thank you very much. Daghang salamat. And then there's maayong gabi'i, good evening.
Maayong gabi'i to you.
And there's also maayong buntag, it's good morning.
Ah, wow.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
It's different from the, we have a language called the national language, which is commonly spoken to a lot of people with different dialects.
Yep.
But I'm promoting my own one, so that's that's the Visayan one. So.
Well, so listeners, you know, she's told us, you know, good morning. She's told us good evening, and she's told us thank you very much.
Yes,
so that's
great.
I'll have to listen back to this interview to get the actual right pronunciation. But that's fantastic, Jahan. We're just going to keep moving on because we've got a couple more questions to get to, and time is rolling on here. So from a cultural perspective, you've beautifully described your journey so far from the Philippines. You're growing up there. You're out in Harvey. You've come out as a newly married couple. You've now got beautiful Simone who's growing up, and she's seven, did you say?
Turning
seven. So there'll be a big party coming up there.
No.
From a cultural perspective, what are some of the biggest challenges for you living in the Harvey area?
Yep.
What have you found as a challenge?
Yeah, when we arrived in 2008, it was very challenging, because an example of it is me and my husband, we would sit outside of Parton's IGA.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bench
before. Yes, I remember it well.
We would sit down there and look for people that look like us.
Right.
Wow. We're looking at black hairs. Uh-huh. There's none. And then the next day we'll sit again. And then people just, I said, it's difficult to look for other Filipinos because we want to feel at home.
Mm,
by looking at people looking like us, it's like home. Like we always, one time we said, kabayan, it's a greeting for Filipinos, identifying Filipinos.
Right.
And then she said, Jakarta. So it's not it's not Filipino. So it was quite difficult initially, but these days we have more Filipinos, and in our time, there's also the challenge of food.
Right.
We want rice.
Yes.
We want not just 1 kilo rice. We want a 20 kilo bag of rice.
Yes.
We can't find it in Javi. So there's that. That was the biggest challenge because our diet is difficult.
It's
different from Australian diet. So all the food that you want.
Yeah.
Is in Perth.
Right.
And we don't have a car. We can't drive.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of challenges just for getting that food.
Yes.
We can't drive. We don't have a car.
Yes.
We don't know anyone. So it's, it's a big one.
So knowing you, because what we haven't said is we work together. We're workmates at the Harvey Recreation and Cultural Centre.
He's my boss.
Well, you run the joint. I just won't turn up. But anyway, what I do know is you're a very practical person. You have a challenge and you tend to then go off and work out how to do that.
Find a solution,
On that one alone, you guys sorted something out, didn't you? What did you do?
What I did in 2015, I opened an Asian, a Filipino grocery shop.
Everybody in town is now going, oh, I know Jane.
The chicken, fried rice and all that.
That's the one.
And the Asian grocery, that was the shop I put up. So after I finished in the piggery, we have that business running. And then pandemic came and we are forced to close and change our career paths, and I know you miss my fried chicken.
I do miss your fried chicken. We didn't know it at the time, but I was one of all your regular customers.
So that was it was good back then, but then I also got pregnant.
Right,
so it was now a battle of should I continue the business or should I focus on the one thing that I have always wanted? Because we've worked so hard to have the family as well.
Yeah.
In doing the business, we're also trying to get pregnant. So.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah. Life is a balance, isn't it? It absolutely is.
You can't have both.
No.
That's the biggest lesson there.
But certainly Harvey was the beneficiary of your shop for the time that it was open. And who knows, down the track, somebody else, maybe might, you, who knows? But somebody else might open a shop and we'll get
If you will allow me.
Yeah. We might do it at the rec center. Who knows? All right, we are just about done and dusted, and you've covered so much with, you know, telling us about your background and your cultural experiences, and that's exactly what that is, and also about these challenges that you have faced. And I love the fact that you've brought out not only language, which is so important, obviously, in that, but you've talked about all the other practical things, food and music and cultural heritage, all of that sort of stuff. What are some of your favorite reasons for living in Harvey, because you've got lots to reflect back on in the Philippines, but you've got this period of time now. What are some of your favorite reasons for living in Harvey, and what are some of your hopes and aspirations for the future, for you, for your family, and for others?
Living in Harvey, because initially my husband and I lived in a farm in Yalu.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then moved to Harvey, but that move was not like a spur of the moment one. It's intentional. The decision has been, it's really thought of very carefully, because we have seen how, I mean, it's an Italian town, very family oriented, very peaceful, and in between two highways.
Yep.
So we were balancing. We both don't like cities.
Right. Gotcha.
So we can see, even if there's progress, we can see Harvey just being nestled in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, this is going to be a peaceful place and good place to raise a family, and which is what's happening now, because I have Simone in Harvey and have her school here in Harvey and us settling in a house that we're paying mortgage. So it's really our forever home.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, the vibe is different.
Right.
Yeah, Harvey have the vibe of being home.
Cool.
Cold home.
Yeah. I think we're going to close there, because that is such a lovely way. It's like you've closed the loop on your original home, which will always be your home.
Yeah.
That's what you've said. But you're allowed to create a new home.
Yes.
And that's what you've done.
Yep.
So well done, you. I'm so glad that we could get together and have this chat, because that's exactly what this whole series is about, getting other people's perspectives and ideas, and recognizing, life is a journey, like you said in the first time round.
Yes,
And we've all got to get along together, don't we?
And I love sharing my experience as well, because my experience will be like a textbook for someone else. So it's that's what I do with my work now, and that's the main reason why I'm in the community service sector. I want to represent people like us, the migrants, and just do things. What can we do to help new settlers? We are settlers. We are not just passing by.
No, exactly.
We are settlers here in Harvey, and we are
buying
our own houses and
building deep roots.
So how can I contribute to make it easier for everyone else?
Yep. Well, you've done that by doing this interview and a whole lot more, but at least we've got something down there. So we're going to go out with your second song, and what have you chosen and
it's,
why?
Someday Soon by Natalie Bassingthwaite.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a long... Yeah, it's the message of the song that when you're you're dreaming of something big, just go for it.
Mm.
There will be a season for each of us to reach that.
Mm.
Let's not force it. Let's not do anything harsh to reach it. Just go with the flow.
Just go with the
and
flow.
And pray.
Sounds great. Yeah. What a fantastic way to end. Hey, this has been Your Stories, Our Community 2024. My very special guest has been Jahan Gaviola. It's David Marshall. And we look forward to joining you with somebody else's story a little bit later on. But it's been all about Jahan Gaviola for tonight. And we're going out with Someday Soon by Natalie Bassingthwaite. You said it better than I can. And thank you, Jahan.
Thank you very much.
No
it's
problem.
A pleasure.
All right. Hope you really enjoy this one.
Someday soon you're gonna catch that dream you've been chasing. Someday soon they're gonna write your name in the sky. Someday soon they're gonna write your name in the sky.